begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, as we have come here to worship, may your love reach into our lives with comfort. Help us to face the challenges of life, the worries that weigh us down, the sorrows and losses that appear, and maybe other happenings. No matter who we are, youth or adult, or where we come from, may your love reach us here in worship, not only from those around us, but also in the songs we sing or hear, the lessons of Scripture for this day, the prayers we offer for others and for ourselves, especially as we receive your presence in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And this time together, we are blessed. Thank you, God. Amen. These are challenging times in the world. The anger and the hostilities, the violence and the hurt, the cries for peace or for justice, or caring needs of many, or the loneliness among all ages, and another of thoughts that trouble you and me. These are challenging times for the church as well. No matter what denomination or areas where they are located, many are declining in membership or worship attendance. Some are closing their doors. Others are merging with other groups. There are fewer youth and more aging adults. But in spite of all that is happening, the gospel, the good news of Jesus the Christ, is proclaimed, and it continues to make a difference day in and day out for so many people. Today we are brought back to the Gospel of Luke, the time of Luke. It too was a period of change. At that time, the teachings of Jesus would bring change, radical change to the lives of the people. In some instances, this meant division. He would challenge the status quo, the government, the rulers, the religious groups, Pilate, Herod, and even his own closest followers, the disciples. The journey he undertook would eventually take him to his crucifixion. Yes, the words he spoke would even raise some eyebrows. Luke has already told us previously that John the Baptist, that Jesus is coming with a fire of purification and refinement. Fire also tells of God's presence, representing God's power, being in a power that would bring change where there would be, where there was resistance, and the power to deal with God's enemies. Initially, he said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were kindled." As we read and hear these words, it must be noted that the word fire was also a symbol of judgment and wishing it were kindled or started. This meant that he was going to speak out against such things as unrighteousness or not being right, idolatry, and injustice. These were contrary to God's kingdom and teaching. The Lord's intention was to really give hope and desire for the world to be so much better. And those prayer words that have meaning for us when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Change would be challenging. And then an illustration appears in our gospel text. And here he talks about a house that's divided, various members against one another. It must have happened back then in that society, but there are times when it happens in our world today. I've seen it in my ministries, and maybe you have seen it too, or maybe it has been a part somewhere in your family or amongst the friends that you know of. Of course, the world's well-being doesn't just spring into action because everyone wants it. First, the truth must be told. First, fire is, after all, about refining and changing. And refining can hurt, especially for those of us who have certain inner impurities sticking to us at various times in various places. Jesus isn't against peace. Rather, he points out that what he is saying of release and change, it is going to be divisive at certain times. Jesus then makes a further comment to those gathered. When they see a cloud coming, they can anticipate that rain might be there, and a southwesterly wind might mean that there's going to be a great deal of heat to the land. They know how to interpret these particular signs in nature, but why couldn't they interpret the present time in the signs before them? Jesus was an example for them to follow, and as an example, we are called to be disciples in action, and that will help to bring peace in many ways to the troubled world and the lives of so many who seek his love. In our world today, there are different kinds of clouds and winds blowing. Some bring division of thoughts and actions amongst people and places. The word brokenness is prevalent in so many ways. And the question before us is, how do we react or respond to these situations? For that, I think we have to keep in mind and remember that Jesus is Lord, and he came in order into the world to give his life for each and every one of us. And with that before us, we who have been bound to him in our baptisms, his presence is there for us each and every day. And here is where we can turn. Being a disciple is important, especially in a world that is so deeply divided and troubled in many ways. Those who have traveled before us have tried to give us meaning and hope in the greatest of love. The prophets of old called people out for worshiping God with their lips while failing God with their actions. How can we bring the peace of Christ to the world? There are those who wonder at our personal and institutional practices, noticing there are cracks of division between our words and our deeds. But the promise of God's peace for the people has always come with the expectation that the people participate in making peace. And we can continue to talk about, and we can continue to argue back and forth, but the Christ that we believe in is at work in many ways. Even though we hear of the anger, the hatred, racism, violence, there are so many places in our world But what counters that? Our faith, which is put into action. It's put into action in a variety of ways. Recently, a group of youth journeyed to Nashville, and what they did there was to help with the cleanup. And with their enthusiasm and their smiles and their endless energy, they brought smiles to those folks who suffered so much. And they felt a certain amount of peace. The people who visit those who are lonely, and how those visits can bring a special joy to those that sometimes do not have visitors. The Pastime Club, which I was a part of many years, that started in Minocqua, provides care, love, and attention and programming for those who have memory loss. And during that time, their caregivers can receive a break from the 24/7 for those situations in their households, and how these people react. We also see and hear about all of the bullying that takes place, not only in the schools, the workplace, or in other situations on the street, but there are those who then bestow friendship and caring, inviting those people that have been bullied into a new environment and a new caring. And the blessings that the teachers dedicated to proclaiming their faith as they reach out to the lives of the young people, they make a difference for them. And through that, a certain peace is available and felt by so many. Think of the first responders. Think of those that are there 24/7 to respond to calls that come in at all times of the day and night and in various places. Think of the policemen and women, the firefighters, whether on duty or not, who enter a variety of situations, often crises. One of the things I used to do when I would be involved in full-time parish ministry, I would always take an opportunity to do a ridership with our policemen and women. And I usually did the night shift from about 9 o'clock till 2 or 3 in the morning. And that gave me a greater sense of respect for what these folks are doing and how they try to bring peace and caring to the areas in which we live. Yes, it's interesting. And the words that are often stick with me as I go through each day, and those words that you know so well, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's easy to let peace remain in the spiritual realm and ignore the work peace demands. Does love in our homes, among our family members, resonate peace? No matter how our numbers are in homes, do we take the time to be with each other? Does work and business and other things cloud our homes, limiting our times together? Times at a meal or meals? Do we often say, "I love you," with a hug or a kiss? Or at other times do we go out together to some other event as a family of one or two or several or whatever? Love in our homes is so important. Does love in our churches give testimony to our Lord who taught us to love one another? Do we express love to all when we see them in worship? Do we minister to those who have lost a loved one? Do we check on the lonely? Are words of kindness expressed, which oftentimes make all the difference in the world? People who join us in worship are more than visitors. They are our guests, and we are to treat them with the love of Jesus, who welcomes all to him. Well, the love in our homes, the love in our churches, carries out into the community, where we interact among all kinds of folks that we chance to come in contact with. And when love abounds, the world changes, changes for the better. Well, to re-gift blessings we have been given can be a challenge at times, but there is one that isn't, the kind that we receive from God. When we share the gifts or blessings that have been given to us by God, there is no end to the joy that's extended. Yes, there's time, there's money or talents that can be shared, but there are other things that can be given. And recently I read a story from a magazine that I subscribe to, and it was a powerful story that I thought about many times over since I read that particular story. And what I want to do is, in closing, share that story with you. Besides time, money, or talents, or other things of God that can be re-gifted. And here's the story. Bethany and Hannah are twin 25-year-old sisters who each donated a kidney to separate strangers earlier this year. Their dad died of kidney failure last year before they had a chance to donate to him. To honor his remarkable generosity with others, they elected to give life to someone else. Their generosity triggered a chain of reaction of anonymous kidney donations from friends of the people who benefited from their gift, and then from friends of others who had new life thanks to the succession of donors. In the end, a hospital south of us helped to coordinate 10 donors and 10 recipients, with even more to come. A different kind of peace, a peace that brought a special kind of love. And may God's peace live and abide in each of us. Amen.